As you sing that last one, "Where the Roses Never Fade," when I was a kid growing up, there was an elderly preacher, and to me he looked elderly, and now I'm his age. So at any rate, he would request that song, and I never counted any Sundays where that he didn't request that. And you know, last time that he was with us at the church where my parents attended, he got up in testimony and said, "You know, one of these days I'm going to that city where the roses never fade." And he did. And he's there. And they're still blooming today. It's good to see each and every one. Glad for all the things that have been said and done thus far. Shirley turned to me and said, "I'm sure glad you didn't bring a sword." And I used that in a sermon illustration one time about the sword of the Spirit. And so I stepped out into the aisle with it. And you wouldn't believe how that the congregation just kind of went like that. And so I learned not to do that again. So if you see me with a sword, you may want to run for cover. I don't know. I wouldn't do that to you. But at any rate, we are truly thankful for the opportunity to be here and for everyone who have found it in their busy day to come and worship God and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know, in the scriptures, in some books of the Bible, critics and then other individuals will say, you know, there's no mention of God in this particular book. I think Esther's one of them, and maybe even Ruth and Song of Solomon. But, you know, He's there. He's there in that book. He's in the pages of Scripture. And I did this at our business meeting the other day, and I thought I would do it again, read this. And to those that asked and requested copies, I will get the copies out there. But it's about Christ in the Bible. In Genesis, Jesus Christ is the breath of life. In Exodus, He's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, He's our high priest. Numbers, He's the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Deuteronomy, He is the prophet like unto Moses. Joshua, He's the captain of our salvation. In Judges, He's our judge and lawgiver. In Ruth, He's our kinsman redeemer. First and Second Samuel, He's our trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, He's our reigning king. In Ezra and Nehemiah, He is the rebuilder of the broken down walls of human life. In Esther, He's our Mordecai. In Job, He's our ever-living redeemer. Psalms, He's our shepherd. Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, He's our wisdom. In Song of Solomon, He is our loving bridegroom. Isaiah, He is the Prince of Peace. Jeremiah, He's our righteous branch. Lamentation, He's our weeping prophet. Ezekiel, He is the wonderful four-faced individual who was at the throne of God that Ezekiel saw. In Daniel, He's the fourth man in life's fiery furnace. And He's the fourth man in your furnace today. In Hosea, He's the faithful husband forever married to the backslider. In Joel, He's the baptizer of the Holy Ghost in fire. Moses, He's our burden bearer. Obadiah, He's mighty to save. Jonah, He's our great foreign missionary. Micah, He is the messenger of beautiful feet. And Nahum, He's our strength and shield. Habakkuk, He's God's evangelist, crying, "Revive thy works in the midst of the years." And Zephaniah, He's our Savior. Haggai, he's the restorer of God's lost heritage. Zechariah, he's the fountain opened up in the house of David for sin and uncleanness. And in Malachi, he is the son of righteousness rising with healing in his wings. In Matthew, he is the king of the Jews. In Mark, he is the servant savior. In Luke, he is the son of man, feeling what you feel. In John, he is the declared Son of God. Acts, he is the Savior of the world. Romans, he is the righteousness of God. In 1 Corinthians, he is the rock, the Father of Israel. 2 Corinthians, he's the triumph one, giving victory. Galatians, he's your liberty. He has set you free. In Ephesians, he's the head of the church. In Philippians, he's your joy. In Colossians, he is your completeness. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he is your hope. 1 Timothy, he is your faith. 2 Timothy, he's your stability. In Titus, he is truth. Philemon, he's your benefactor. In Hebrews, he is your perfection. In James, he is the power behind your faith. 1 Peter, he is your example. 2 Peter, he is your purity. 1 John, he is your life. 2 John, he is your pattern. 3 John, he's your motivation. In Jude, he is the foundation of your faith. And in Revelation, he is your coming king. Amen. Thankful to be able to read that, but God gave us the ability. I just felt so moved to read this. And yes, as I promised those that were there at the business meeting, I will get copies of that today. And I hope that it blesses your heart. If you have your Bible with you, we ask that you turn with us to the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew's Gospel. 17th chapter of the book of Matthew's Gospel. And we're going to start our reading lesson today in the 14th verse. Now, Peter and James and John had just come down from Mount Tabor. It's referred to as the Mount of Transfiguration. There Christ Jesus was transfigured, that is, he was glorified with a heavenly glory. And there appeared with him Moses and Elijah. Someone will ask today, how did those disciples know that it was Moses and Elijah? And the only explanation that I can give today is that with such heavenly presence of God, who was also there, it's just a foretaste of heaven. When we get to heaven, we shall know even as we are known. So they were able to know because there was a heavenly presence and wisdom that was there. Later, we find that they are in Galilee in the 14th verse. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. And then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. And then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind cometh out not by prayer, but by prayer and by fasting. And then Jesus goes on to repeat what he said in the conversation with Moses and Elijah upon the mount, that the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of man. He will be killed or crucified, and the third day he will rise again. If correctly read, this all includes the 14th down through the 23rd verses of the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew's gospel. Our text will come from the 20th verse, where that he said that if have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. We'd like to take for a subject or a thought today about the mustard seed versus a mountain. Doesn't sound like much of a contest, does it? Whenever that you think about what a mustard seed is, it's a very, very small seed. Now, I know with my eyesight, I can't even see one. At one of the stores in Branson, where that they have all kinds of Christian items and crosses and things like that, in amber they have encased a mustard seed. And you know, I looked at that amber, and I'm doing this. I don't like to admit this, but I was doing this trying to see it. It's very, very small. It's one of the smallest seeds that there is in the plant kingdom. And sometimes that's how that we think that our faith is. We think that God does not hear us. I've heard preachers say, and I vehemently disagree with them, that God does not hear the prayer of a sinner. How are people saved if God doesn't hear the prayer of a sinner? I give unto you today what Christ said about that. There was a Pharisee and a publican that went down to the temple, the synagogue, to pray. The Pharisee lifted up his eyes towards heaven as if he was God's gift to God, and said, I'm thankful today I'm not like other men. I thank God today that I do this, I do that. I thank God today, and ladies, don't throw a rock at me. This is how the Pharisees felt back then. I thank thee, O God, that I was not born a woman. I thank thee, O God, that I'm not like this publican back here. But the publican smote his breast, the Bible says. And he said, God be merciful unto me, a sinner. Very short prayer. But he had faith in it today. And Jesus said, that man went down to his house justified. It's not the quantity. It's not the words. It's what comes from the heart. And that's what the Lord is speaking about here today, about our prayer, and about how that our prayer is to be mixed with faith. If you say unto this mountain, be thou removed. And Jesus said over in another place, cast into the sea. It shall be done for you. Someone will say, preacher, do you really believe a mountain can be moved like that? If God is in it, he can. If God does it, it can. I can't do it. And I can pray in front of it all day long. But if I don't have faith, it availeth me nothing at all. And as we said, true faith is based on a trust and a relationship with Almighty God. Whenever that you pray, you might think that your prayers are not heard. But I want you to know God hears every prayer. God hears every petition. In fact, in the book of the Revelation, it talks about how that there was a censer that was opened up in God's presence, and there came up a sweet odor in the presence of God. And John wrote and said, "This was told unto me that this was the prayer of the saints of God." Now, God may not answer your prayers just Johnny on the spot. I think sometimes living in this microwave generation, you know, we slap it into the microwave, hit the time, as quick a time as we can think of, and pops out. And you know, sometimes that carries over into our relationship with God. Think about Moses, or think about Abraham today. How that he was promised that he would have a son, he and Sarah, past the childbearing years. And Abraham waited and waited and waited and waited. He just didn't wait enough. He took it upon himself to sire a child by Sarah's handmaid. But that was not the promised one. It was Isaac who came later and was born unto Sarah, who was at this time 99 years old. You see, all things are possible with God. We have those examples within the scriptures today. And you know, there is growth and potential in that today. Whenever that we mix patience along with that faith, there's a potential for our little mustard seed of faith growing and blossoming. In fact, Jesus compared it unto a mustard seed that is planted, and when it blossoms out as, or comes out as, one of the largest trees, and becomes a place where the birds can rest, where it can be shade, where it can benefit people today. That's how our faith is. And God sometimes grows our faith through tribulation, through trials, through heartaches, through tears, through fear, all of those things. But you know, whenever that it is planted in faith towards God, God does something for us. He strengthens our faith. He helps our faith. And you might say today, well, what good is that to have to wait upon something like that event? Well, you know, today, just like that mustard seed tree, and just like whenever that it reaches its full zenith, it can be a benefit unto others. Your faith, when it grows, can be a help to your, not only your fellow man, but it can be a help unto your fellow Christian today. I like to hear people talk about things that God has done for them, because I get a picture of God, not just confined unto something about this big, but I get a picture of God's omniscience and omnipresence, and He is before all things. And I could go down the line like I did with this poem about God, and we would be here all day. But I want you to realize today that mustard seed grows into something today with faith in God, that my friend can be of help and be a benefit unto others. Our faith grows. And we find over in Galatians, in the fifth chapter, it says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, and faith." That faith comes from the Holy Spirit. It is prompted by the Holy Spirit. When we are saved, we're saved by grace through faith. Amen. We're not saved by works. Now, works comes along later. And I'll tell you something today, it's coupled up with faith. You know, if we had a buggy out front, and you know what I'm referring to, had just sitting there on the road, nothing else, and it's representing faith, that faith is not going to benefit anyone if it just sits there. Now, we could sit there and we could say, well, you know, I've got faith, there it is. But my friend, faith without works, that is works coming from faith, is dead. That doesn't mean you don't have faith, but the faith is dead. You see, works accompany and go along with faith. And by that today, it can be a benefit unto others. That, my friend, may be looking to us for strength, may be looking to us for consolation, whenever that it might be, for comfort, for someone to pray for. Have you ever been so burdened, so down, that, my friend, you couldn't even utter the name of God? And that's whenever that you make a prayer request and say, I'm so burdened, I've got this going on, and I just cannot even breathe prayer whatsoever. And I'm thankful for praying church today. And I want to encourage you to continue to be a praying church, because with men, things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible today. I give unto you today, whenever that David went out to face Goliath, David was armored. Did you know that? No, he didn't have Saul's armor on. He didn't have his brother's, Eliab's armor on. He didn't go down to the armory and get fitted in a coat of mail. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to fight Goliath. No. David had been trained by God out there in the desert watching his sheep. And you know, today, that's an example that perhaps we think our lot in life is insignificant. We think today, you know, Lord, I'd like to be used of you, but I can't do a thing. I can't do anything. You know, there was a small young man that came whenever there were 5,000 that needed to be fed. And he had 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. And you know, the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey says, Jesus took it and blessed it. What if that young man didn't have those loaves and didn't have those fishes? Well, how in the world can something like a mustard seed of faith and those small elements feed and take care of and conquer the hunger of others? You put them into the hands of Jesus, and you'll be amazed at what Jesus can do. You'll be amazed at what he does. You'll be amazed today at how that he will take what you consider something meager and multiply it and use it to benefit others. But getting back unto David, David used something that was so insignificant in that day. You know, all he went out to see Goliath with was a sling and a stone. He went down to the river that flowed through the valley of Elah. And here is Goliath, about 9 to 10 feet tall, over 600 pounds. His shield had to be carried by an armor bearer. It was so large and so heavy. But he was armed to the teeth. He'd been coming out day and night and cursing the people of God. He even cursed God himself. And I want to tell you, that's what moved David's heart. He said, why is it that this uncircumcised Philistine, you know, that sounds like pretty strong language, but that's what Goliath was. He was an uncircumcised pagan who was cursing God. But David went down and he got a small rock. Thank you, Brother Ron, for getting that rock. I've been keeping it on my desk. I put it in the car. I just hope I never lose it. But he took from that brook 5 smooth stones. And somebody will say, well, I guess he got those 5 stones just in case he missed. No, he got those stones because he knew that Goliath had some other brothers and he might have to fight them. So he was prepared. But you know, whenever that he went down, my friend, it said that he ran towards Goliath. He had faith in God. As Goliath was looking down on David, God was looking down on Goliath. You catch my drift on that? I want to tell you something, my friend. God looks down on your problems and your troubles, and He knows all about them, and He loves you. And I want to tell you, He'll protect you as He protected David. And you might say, how do you know that? Because God is no respecter of persons. David was used as an example unto us. Did you know that today? But you know, there was also faith in what David did. What if he just stood there like this with a sling? Well, I'm here, Lord. Okay, anytime now. I've got faith. Come on, Lord. I don't have to do anything else. I did what you told me to do. It wasn't until by faith he let go of that rock. And I want you to know David was a marksman. He'd been killing desert rats, perhaps. I don't know. But I'll tell you something today about David. David was a man after God's own heart. I don't think there's ever lived another one. And I know that people will, well, you know, what about his sin? He sinned. God still loved him. And David loved God. That didn't change. But I want you to realize today that David had prepared also by faith. He had prepared for this time, for this moment. Just like Esther, who was brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. Elkton Church has been brought into this time in the 21st century for such a time as this. Your prayers are going to make a difference if you put faith in God. And we are facing a terrible situation that we don't know how it's going to end. We may get home and no telling what has happened. But I want to tell you, God is still in control of it all. I want to tell you something today. God loves His people, and He loves His chosen. And He loves those that have been saved by His grace. And He's not going to desert you. And my friend, if someone or that it comes into your mind that God does not care, God just doesn't mind anything, I've been deserted by God, don't you listen. If anything, when you have doubts, doubt your doubt. Amen? You doubt your doubt and you put your faith in God. David let go of that rock and God directed it. But before all of that, David had encountered a bear. And he smote the bear. He didn't smote the bear with a 30-30. He didn't kill the lion with a big elephant gun. No, he went after him barehanded. They had come after his sheep. They had come to destroy them. Do you know today, my friend, that Satan goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour? He does. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. And my friend, he won't make you sin. And I used to get tickled at Flip Wilson, who would always say, well, the devil made me do it. I used to get tickled at that until I realized it's not the devil that's doing it. He's putting the sin right out there and saying, come on. Nobody will know. Come on. Eve, just take a bite and then give some to your husband, Adam. He'll put sin in front of you. He'll put the temptation in front of you. But I want you to know today, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Do you believe that today? I most certainly do. I believe today, greater is He that's dwelling in my heart and in my soul, in the spirit, than he that is out here in the world. Now, there are going to be times whenever that we have some fear. There are going to be times whenever that we kind of step back and we're overwhelmed by it. But always remember this one thing. God is still in control no matter what happens. No matter who's being bombed. No matter what troops set their boots upon a foreign foreign land. God has still got this under control. And it's part of his plan. And I want you to know, he has shared with us the assurance, I will be with you even unto the end of the world. Oh yeah, left David slinging the sling, didn't we? Yeah, David knew how to use it. But I also believe today that God directed it. There was not going to be a need for another stone. There was not going to be a need for David running back to Saul to get a spear because he missed. My friend, that thing went and smote Goliath in the forehead. And they say that it sunk into his forehead. That's got a lot of velocity to it. That's got a lot of velocity. Just think, the champion, my friend of the Philistines, smitten with a rock. Boy, isn't that embarrassing to the Philistines? I would have liked to have seen the look on their face when they saw what happened. But I want you to know, you have a foe. You have a mountain in front of you. Probably troubles and things that you never imagined would happen. I never even thought we'd get into the 21st century, to tell you the truth. But here we are. But God is with us. God will direct us. He will give us grace and strength. And on this journey of faith, I want you to know that if we're looking for it, God does amazing things and will do amazing things. Now, where's your stone at? Where's your stone at? Where's your mustard seed placed? Only you can answer that. Our obstacles are sometimes like a mountain. Boy, I want to tell you, some of the most overwhelming things that I've seen in the natural is going through where there are literal mountains. Where that you go up a trail or you go up a highway into the mountains, and oh my goodness, we're up about a mile and you see snow and ice on the side and you think, oh my lands, this is some mountain. And that's how our obstacles are. That's how Goliath was. That's how all the armies were that came up against Israel. Now, I want to tell you, that's how the powers of darkness were. Whenever the Christ was crucified, Satan did everything within his power to try to stop Christ Jesus from going to the cross, dying for our sins, and then resurrecting the third day. I believe that he just right up into the end, Peter said, I will go with you even unto the death. Get thee behind me, Satan. He wasn't talking to Peter. He said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things of God, but the things of man. And at any time, Christ could have called for all of heaven itself to send the dominion of angels to take him down from the cross and to do what the Jews in that day wanted him to do whenever he walked, and that is to defeat the Roman Empire. But my friend, Christ overcame that. He overcame the wishes of others for him to do something for them. Because you see today, I may be thrown out for blasphemy, but I think Christ believed and knew that what he was doing and dying would break the power of sin and break the power of death. But we have mountains. We live every day. Someone will say, preacher, you just don't know what I'm going through. You just don't understand. Preacher, walk a mile in my shoes and understand. I may not know, but I want to tell you, there is someone who walked on thin sandals over terrain that you and I could not have made it over. He walked, my friend, at times by himself. and he was alone. He sometimes was hungry. You mean the Lord was hungry? Oh, my friend, I want you to know he was 100% man, 100% God. And he felt hunger. He felt thirst. He felt loneliness. He felt sorrow. He felt everything that we feel, the Bible said. Yet, though being tempted, he did not give in unto sin, because he was the Son of God. What is your mountain today? We're not exempt. I always thought, boy, if I finally got it, when I was saved, I thought, boy, I got it now. Nothing going to happen to me. Boy, I didn't realize the battle had already started. And it does. You might say, well, I didn't sign up for this. No, you didn't sign up for it. But I want to tell you something. There's somebody that's going to be there. Not just a somebody. It's going to be Christ himself that will give you the grace and the fortitude and the faith to trust in him today. We're in a spiritual warfare. You may not agree with this. But you know all this that is going on, the evil in the world, and all the demonic things that are taking place, and the wars and rumors of wars, murders and so on and so forth, unheard of things from our past. My friend, it's devil inspired, it's evil inspired, and you could pull back the curtains, you would see an angelic battle that's taking place between Satan's forces and the forces of Almighty God. But take heart today. He will send his angels, or he'll send his grace, or he'll send whatever to protect and to keep you today. Well, what if they kill me? Then you'll go on to heaven. Now, he can't touch that. But my friend, we are in spiritual. In fact, listen to what Paul says in Ephesians. I'm going to have to wind this down. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. My enemy is not the man that sits in Tehran. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities. That's referring to hierarchies of demons and so on and so forth. You see, Satan is not unorganized. He knows exactly where to get us at. But he says, rulers of darkness in this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. My friend, there is so much evil going on. And my friend, we need to be armored with the whole armor of God. Annie, I wish I had that sword. But you know what the armor is today? Loins girt about with the truth. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. A breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation, and the last two most important, the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. Get your nose into the Bible, and I know you do. But get your nose into the Bible and realize today that these things are coming to pass. They must, for the end to finally come, for God to wind it up. And I want to tell you something. If God just sat back and just let it go in the direction that it is going on, man would destroy himself. But he'll put a halt to it one day. Christ will come. He'll set up a kingdom unlike any other. Now, I want to tell you, as I've said before, he's going to straighten out everybody's theology. He's going to straighten out everybody's politics. Amen? Because there's only one party with Christ. That's the Christ party. That's the one I belong to. Now, I'm not against all these others. God bless them. God help them. But I want you to realize today in this that we have to move beyond the stifling of our faith. Do you know what stifles faith today? It is doubt. Now, you might doubt some things, and it's good to be discretionary. But don't doubt God. My friend, God has proven himself so much today that he, my friend, could be trusted with our eternal souls. That's faith. When I was saved, I stepped out on faith. I didn't know where I was going to go. But God lifted me up out of the miry pit and out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a solid rock, that solid rock being Christ Jesus. And I want you to know today, apply the blood into my heart. And my friend, if that doesn't get me into heaven, nothing else will. And I'm not just guessing about it. I want you to know, I know I'm going to heaven. I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that he's my Savior and he's my Lord. So we've got to move beyond the stifling or the blunting or the doubt. You've got to move beyond that when it comes to God today. Christ teaches today that he is all authority. That's why our trust is in him today. Now, when these bombs start flying, and whenever that it just looks like, oh my lands, such a chaotic mess that's going on, the Bible says over Luke, when you see these things come to pass, what does he say? Lift up your head. Your redemption is drawing nigh. That coming of Christ Jesus is at hand. Christ has all authority. He said in Matthew chapter 28 at the very last verse, before, as it continues over into Acts, the first chapter, he said these words, "All power and authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth." Into Christ's hands, God has given unto him the power to save, the right to save, the right to judge. Paul preached, and I'm going to close, Paul preached unto the men at Athens, Greece, Mars Hill, we call it. And he said, "I perceive that you men are superstitious, for I have seen all these altars unto the gods, all of them today. And then I see one over here," and you've heard me tell this before. "I see one over here, and it says, unto the unknown God." Not only were they afraid they were going to leave some out, but deep down inside, they had that sense that there was one that they did not know. Do you know him today? Do you have that sense within you that there is a void? There's an emptiness? There's something that you don't have that could give you comfort and give you joy and peace and assurance today? Do you have that God-sized hope? And you might say, "Preacher, I don't know that that's the case with me." Well, I want to tell you something today. You'll never have peace until you have the Prince of Peace. And so Paul said, "I perceive that you're superstitious." I think what Paul meant was, "I think you might be," after I spoke, "under conviction." And he said, "You have an altar that says, unto the unknown God." He said, "Him you ignorantly worship." But he said, "I am here to tell you all about him today." And Paul preached the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some of those Epicureans and Stoics, they just walked away. "Well, we'll have this babbler come back sometime." But there were some that the gospel got a hold of them. And they begin to realize this man knows what he's talking about. He has pointed us unto the one true God. And pardon me for saying this today, the one true God that even Socrates wrote about, but he didn't know who he was. He wrote about him. He said, there's got to be a God that's above all of it. He wasn't talking about Jupiter. He wasn't talking about Mercury. He wasn't talking about all the classical gods of the Greeks and the Romans. He was talking about this sense that he had. That's the one. That's the one. And I want to tell you something. You may not think your little rock can knock down a giant, but you let God direct the missile and it'll strike home. And the Bible says, not close, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I want to say today, if you do not know him, I want to give you an opportunity, if you feel led, to come and pray so that you may come to know this Jesus that we speak about, this Lord that we talk about, that we preach about, that we teach about, that we sing about today. I love the singing today. I love Elma and Sherry singing. Gosh, that brought back memories because it's praises unto God. That's what it's about. Let your mustard seed tear down your mountain. There's an old saying that says, don't make a mountain out of a molehill. I've got one even better than that. Let a mountain become a molehill through Christ Jesus, our Lord.